what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Caron from Trash Talk TV, and as usual, I'm joined by the lovely, thin, talented, taken, rich, white-toothed Ben Mandelker. Hello, Ben.
Hello. I don't know if I would put rich on that list, but...
I'm thinking thin. Think in the future, Penny, all right?
Yes.
Don't think about today's tuna confetti. Think about next year's, darling.
Exactly.
You can find Ben at his other podcast, The Banter Blender, or at his blog, bsideblog.com. I'm writing Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recaps over at Trash Talk TV, so come on over. Lisa Rinna retweeted one last week.
Yes! So thanks, girl. Oh my God, that was awesome. We love Lisa Rinna.
Yeah, that was like the best 10 minutes of my life. I was like, I'm internet famous for 10 minutes! And then it ended. And then I crashed really hard and got a Coke habit. If you want to find out our social media links, our Instagrams and blah-de blahs, Twitters and all that, just go to watchwhatcrappens.com. We've got a list of all that crap. Also, please come to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon/watchwhatcrappens. That is where you can subscribe for bonus content. We do a bonus episode every week. We have ringers. We have a monthly Google Hangout, which I think is next week, right, Ben?
Sure.
I think it's going to be next Wednesday or Thursday. Check on our Facebook page, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's where
Child.
You guys can talk to other readers, I mean listeners, and make us laugh our asses off like you're doing right now in the current comment thread about what to talk about on today's show. So I think that's all of the plugs, but you guys have been killing it on Patreon. We're actually like paying our rent doing this show now, which is so amazing. And our goal on Patreon is to get up to $1,000. And once we do that, are going to be adding another show every week. And right now, Bravo is in full force. There is so much crap to watch on Bravo, and we can only get to a certain amount of it. So if you want your second show, come on there and subscribe. Okay? And that is the end of the plug session.
Yeah,
get your Sherry's Berries. Get some soap from Jackie the Soap Lady. Who else? Get some shoes from that lady we like, Sarah.
I'll
find her shoe place. Anyway, thanks for all the supporters.
It was like XOXO shoes or something like that in Miami.
Yeah, so thanks for all our supporters and people who have supported us over the years. And now let's shut the fuck up with plugs and start talking about the shows.
God, this podcast has more plugs than Asifa's boyfriend and Shah's a Sunset.
Mm-hmm.
Segway.
Girl. So you're starting with Shaw's of Sunset.
I'm getting it out of the way because I know you didn't watch it.
Yeah, it's putting me in a negative start for this.
Good, Ronnie. Because,
you know what? I had to take a stand. I hate that show. I hate the people on it. And I'm not going to watch a bunch of fucking people that I hate walk around pretending they have so much more money than everybody else and watching Asa pretend she's some fucking hippie when she's really some little rich kid who doesn't work for her money and drives around in fucking white Mercedes while her parents live in the slums.
Yeah.
No. I'm done with you, show. Fuck you, Shaw's of Sunset. I hate your guts. I hope you die. Stick a needle in your eye. Bye, bye. Bye-bye, bye.
I actually love this show, and I still watch, and I can just, like, give you a synopsis of this past episode, which is that Jessica, Mike's girlfriend, finally officially converted to Judaism. She walked naked in the ocean. It was actually a very nice scene. MJ's boobs are bigger than ever. And so Asa arranged a staycation in Malibu. They rented a house in Malibu. And within minutes, Mike and Asifa were fighting again because Asifa's like, tell your girlfriend to apologize for scratching my boyfriend's back. And then Jessica was like, what? I never scratch his back at all. Oh my God. Why would you say that? Da, 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 da. And then
scratching his back. Really?
So like during the fight Jessica's from last week.
After.
Yeah. No, from last week when there was the fight over the blazer.
Oh, like meanly
said, like,
scratched
a mean scratch.
His back?
Yeah. And then like,
I could even feel it. That guy's got so much fucking Botox. I'm surprised he can even feel himself walking down the street.
Yeah, exactly. And so the guy actually apologized to Mike. The guy was like, listen, you know, about everything, whatever he said. He said, like, I am sorry for what happened last week. And Mike's like,
okay. Listen, I went back to my closet and realized that I do leave all the X's on my jackets. And you were right. I did think that was fashion, and I'm big enough to admit it. Let's hug.
Yeah, exactly. So then there's the girls getting to fight, and Mike pulls the guy aside, and he's like, yo, man. He's like, you know what? If you can't be big enough to apologize to me, then I don't know. And then the guy's like, but I just did apologize to you. I'm not going to do it again. And Mike's like, well, then, bro, I don't know what would. I'm like, Mike, he apologized to you. Because Mike is getting the villain edit.
Mike's a fucking idiot.
He is. He's really getting the villain edit this season.
Well, he's just a fucking idiot. And he's led around by his little monkey-faced anger.
Yeah.
Mike, calm down. What are you so angry about? You were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. You're handed everything in your fucking life. No one even shows up to your job to buy shit, and you still have a bus rolling around town with your face on it. What are you complaining about? What are you so angry about? How about you just calm the fuck down and stop getting mad about people's exes on the back of their jackets?
Exactly. Mike? Well, he's definitely getting the villain's edit, especially because...
Yeah, doesn't he rape somebody?
Well, this episode started with Gigi revealing that last year when they were in Turkey, Gigi was like, yeah, Mike tried to have sex with me. She said that, like, he put his, like, hand on her thong, whatever. And they had a flashback of her saying something like, get your hand off me. Like, hey, like, jokingly, like, is your hand on me or whatever? And then she said that he, like, showed up at her hotel room and was, like, tried to, like, hang out. And she was like, no. And that's as far as it went. But now it's, like, this whole thing, like, Gigi hasn't gotten over it. And Gigi thinks it's weird, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah, because Gigi's, like, the calm voice of reason now because she wasn't drunk at one fucking party.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, those people are so belligerent. I don't understand these mean drunks. I'm like, bitch, are you kidding? Because 5 minutes ago they were showing a clip of you kicking a fan across the room because someone told you you were mean. So crazy. And the biggest news here is that Gigi actually said no when someone tried to get it all up inside of her. Bitch, please, you slept with Jax Taylor. Okay?
Well, you know, to be fair, Gigi always pulls in really hot guys. So she, you know, she deserved to, not deserves to say no, but she, like, she has taste. She has a taste level, and Mike does not reach it. But then the sort of the episode ended.
She fucked Jax Taylor. So sorry, but I think that invalidates your complete argument.
True. Although Jax, it depends when she fucked Jax. Yeah, because he was really hot at
Sausage face or before.
Yeah, exactly. So the other thing is that, like, Jessica is now being, like, really prissy, and she was like, she's like, Mike, I hate your friends. And they were all having a group dinner, and she was like, oh my god, you guys are, like, more annoying tonight than usual. And then she was just saying all these obnoxious comments, and, like, she's not, like, wrong. You know, she's right. They are actually annoying and irritating, and they're sort of awful. But for her to actually be in that group and be saying these snotty little things, like, out loud to them all, is really obnoxious, and it made me hate her.
Who, the new girl?
Jessica, the girlfriend.
Jessica's the worst. Okay, like, always when you're dating someone and they seem like they're all subservient and they're just quiet, be very careful, because they are just waiting for that ring.
Yeah,
and that's basically what she did. I mean, she's a bitch on wheels. That girl was the one who came out of that party last week like, get this fucking mic off me, god damn it, now! Yeah. Like, yeah. Oh my god, yeah. Nene, calm down, girl. You were in one scene about strudel or some shit. Look, what are you even talking about? Sit down.
Yeah, see, she was, this time she was like, oh my god, you guys are more obnoxious than usual. She's like, well, thank god I'm not staying the night here. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, all these comments. And they were just like, even though they are obnoxious, it's just, it's rude to say those things. And now it's funny because
their job to be obnoxious. You married into this.
Exactly.
They were shooting this show when you started dating your boyfriend. So shut the fuck up and stop acting like you're not trying to get a spinoff about selling Oriental rugs or whatever the hell Mike's going to be doing in a couple of years. Get
exactly.
Out of here.
So now Rez is like, listen, I know you don't like us, but, you know, like, homegirl has to get with it. So, and the other
I'm rich. Do you know how much money I have, Jessica? I have enough money to buy your entire microphone that you
That's
threw
so
down
Persian.
On the ground last week.
That's so Persian. And then the other thing is that Adam, Reza's fiance, asked Asa to be his maid of honor, which was sort of like a slight to MJ. He, like, turns to MJ and is like, you're the second choice. I was like, wow, that was obnoxious.
But didn't he already ask MJ to be his maid of honor?
I don't know. Well, I'm sure Reza will ask. And then so then Mike got pissy.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about the boyfriend? The fiance asked
Asa.
Who now?
Asa.
Oh, well, MJ's going to be the other bridesmaid.
Probably.
Or the other maid of honor.
And so, and then, like, Mike got all pissy, and then Adam's like, what, you're mad? And he's like, meh. And then Adam's like, well, maybe you should, like, send an email once in a while, or a call to say hi, and maybe you could then be the maid of honor, or something like that. But I was like, good for you. I was like, It was funny because, like, 2 seconds before, I'm like, you're being so obnoxious, MJ. And then 3 seconds later, I'm like, oh, good for you for standing up to Mike. So,
yeah, I would think that guy had a backbone, except I've seen how he let Reza decorate their apartment. So I know he's a pussy.
Yeah.
Nothing says bottom like letting your boyfriend paint your house purple and gold polka dots.
Exactly. And I think the only other noteworthy thing was that MJ had this really actually very hot client that she was showing a house to. And she was like, you know, Persians, we just get horny. That's just the way, you know, Persians are just always horny. I'm like, I don't think that's a Persian thing. I think that's like a human thing.
Yeah, I think that's a human thing.
Yeah. I was like, don't
most of us just don't do it with so much body hair.
So that's basically it.
So another thing that I read was that MJ was contouring her arms.
She was. She's like, one thing you have to do to like make your arms look skinnier is she's putting dark makeup on like the bottom of her arms, which to me didn't make. I mean, I don't know. On TV, it didn't seem to have an effect. And all I could think about was how she was going to ruin so many like chairs and items of clothing with like contour makeup.
I know her boyfriend's always going to have like dark stains like exactly. Right under his arms.
It's like when you get like when you get like deodorant marks when you put on a shirt and then you get those white lines. It's going to be like that, like but everywhere. It's going to be like it's going to look like he just got dusted for fingerprints all over his sides.
Okay. Yeah. So Shaz is done for now,
done.
Right?
Done. That's
okay,
the update.
So I'll eventually catch up with Shaz, but there's so many damn Bravo shows. We're going to have to get to 2 shows a week so we can do Shaz, Southern Charm, Newlyweds, and get all of the shit that we cannot possibly cover
in our matchmaker
show in there. So thank you for supporting us. Now get your friends over there. Even if people don't know us, just be like, why are you donating to a politician this year? Please get Watch What Crappens enough so they can have an episode about Newlyweds and Shaz.
It's just like $1. You could just do like $1 per month. We don't care.
Yeah, we don't care. We don't go over that list and write down your names and look you up on Facebook and find out who your family members are and then make little dolls that look just like you and put pins in them if you're not a member.
Do you realize that's like half of a taco, $1 per month. Look, other drives for like public radio, whatever, they want like $50 a month.
I know. They're like, you guys, give us $1,000 and we'll give you a signed DVD of Eliza Minnelli tape that came out 19 years ago. Like, what?
Yeah, I was listening to the classical station because I'm very classy like that. And they were like doing their drive, and they're like, "If you just spend, that's just like $30 a month. We'll give you a 3-CD set of Mozart's greatest hits." I'm like, "Who listens to CDs anymore?"
Mozart's greatest hits. You could record. I could re-record that now because that copyright's like done now. Like it's like that music's so damn old. You could use that as the new happy birthday song, and nobody could sue you.
Or I could just buy
that shit away.
Or I could buy the 3-CD set. For like $30 rather than spend 30 times 12, which is, you know, who knows what, $3,600? I don't know.
Like $360.
Sorry.
We're going to send you an 8-track tape because nobody has an 8-track player anymore. And that means we're giving you the gift of silence.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Thanks a lot, PBS.
I know. Although I do enjoy a good tote bag.
Oh, those fucking tote. I'm kind of sick of those like tote bags that everybody's bragging about what they're supporting because it's always like NPR or there's never like the face of a starving African child with flies all over its face as someone's like cloth shopping bag.
Yeah. Although if people were willing to donate to Patreon
really
for like a Watch What Crappens tote bag, like I would find a way to make tote bags if it meant that people would donate.
I would make them now actually for African children because what's a better idea? What's better marketing than to say, do you want to get some food into this little guy? Well, just send us $30 a month and you'll have him on your tote bag to take to Trader Joe's. You can put oranges in him, eggs. Feed this child.
What if we made tote bags with Bravo quotes on them? This is your reward for donating. Like, what if there was like a tote bag that just said, see, now, Riley, on the side of it? Or just like a picture of like Kim Richards or
lemons like... don't cure limes.
Oh, I would do it. I would do
okay.
It.
So where shall we start? People you know do what? Not it's... need to hear about tote bags. I'm in the weirdest mood. I feel like every time I'm doing this show lately, I'm saying something like, I'm in a really weird mood, you guys. So
I know.
Sorry.
We are in a weird, like honestly, like our bonus episode this week was a little cray cray. Like, it was really in a crazy. I mean, we talked about aliens. We talked about aliens. We talked about lizard people. We talked about Starbucks.
We talked about terrible free apps at Starbucks.
We talked about Pebbles. We talked about racism.
Oh my god.
We got it all. We got it all in, girl.
That's some funny shit. Okay, so would you like to start with The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
Of course, of course. This show is on fire.
That's the most recent, so yeah, I'll talk about that.
To me, Beverly Hills is at that point where I'm like excited. When it's like Tuesday, I'm excited because I know Beverly Hills is on tonight because I'm like so into it right now. I am. To me, this is the best it's been since season two. Like, it is back on track, hardcore.
Well, there's real shit going on. It does not just seem like a bunch of fake shit. It seems like stuff that people are actually shocked is becoming this huge drama, you know? Yeah. And it's just going to go downhill.
Yeah. It's like real shit. And it's also like the sort of thing where you get fired up when, like, you can sort of see one person's logic and another person's logic and they're not lining up and you want to sort of shake everyone. Explain everything to everyone.
I mean, I just want to shake Brandy. I don't know. I don't get her logic, and I don't think she gets it either, but she feels like she has to keep fighting, and she's just fighting the dumbest fights in the world. Like, she's picking the obviously wrong side.
Well, she's also very hypocritical. I mean, she gets mad at Eileen. I wanted to call her Elaine for some reason. Eileen. She gets mad at Eileen.
Don't fucking call me Elaine, Ben. Don't do it.
Is it bad that my dad is calling right now and my parents have been in China for 3 weeks and it's the first I'm hearing from them, but I'm not going to take the call because we're podcasting?
Well, yeah, I get your priorities straight.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you do have them straight. You do have them straight.
Yeah, well, I'll speak to them soon enough. So anyway, but it really bothers me that Brandy was getting mad at Eileen for what Eileen was saying about Kim. She's like saying, like, you know, you can't just, you say those things and those like have effects. Those like,
you're
really
possibly ruining somebody's life.
I know. I'm like, how about, why don't you talk to Adrian Malouf about that, Brandy? How about that?
Like, yeah, no,
she
shit.
Is the queen of just blurting stuff that could be
or
extremely
Kyle, she's obviously still telling people that her husband's cheating on her. So that was obviously from Brandy, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Love that she kind of came out of the closet with that one.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just it's so...
She's just the worst. And then she's like, well, let's just say something positive about each other around the table. And then she's like, you have nice tits. I really enjoy your anorexia.
I know, what a passive
aggressive. Wow, your multiple personalities are really shining through. It's like...
You know what? Don't suggest that game if you aren't willing to sort of take it seriously. You
she's
know?
Just trying to be funny, but it's not. It's just me, you know, it's just dick.
It wasn't, it was past, I don't think she was even trying to be funny. I think she was being passive aggressive. She's like, she even said, like, well, I don't have anything nice to say about the personality, so I'll say something nice about something like their physical trait. But it was like very obvious, like the people that she liked, she would say something thoughtful. The people she didn't like, she would say, like, you have a nice hair. And it's like, it really read as passive aggressive to me.
Yeah.
And then, of course,
well, she's the one who started the game only to say, well, I can't compliment any of you. So,
yeah. And then when it gets to her, she's like, no, I don't want to hear compliments, whatever, which was the whole reason why actually she started the game was to do this almost like faux, humble, like, I can't hear a compliment because I'm so damaged thing. It really bothered me.
You know.
What?
Eating an orange.
I was about to say, are you getting choked up at the thought of compliments, too?
Like I said, Brandy's been trying to put herself back in victim mode to become popular again because that's the only time anybody likes her.
Yeah.
So at this point, she's begging people to victimize her.
Yeah.
She's like a little kid who walks in while you're like watching TV, walks right in front of you, pulls his pants down, and just takes a shit on the floor.
Right.
Like, he wants to be beat.
Yeah. And now
beat him, I say.
And right now, the thing that she's really playing the victim card with, aside from having glass in her hair, is that Eileen has been saying that she's saying that Eileen called her an alcoholic, and Eileen is countering that. She said, no, I said you're a mean drunk. And Brandy, even after Eileen says that, she's like, well, Eileen just said that I'm an alcoholic. And Eileen's like, no, I said mean drunk and angry drunk. And then Brandy gets mad at that, but Brandy is a mean drunk. And the difference between accusing someone of being an alcoholic and a mean drunk is that I think when you accuse someone of being an alcoholic, you're really accusing them of deep problems, addiction, affliction.
Well, they do. And disease. And you know what? I will stand up for Brandy on this one because she's right that no one's giving her the truth. Like, Lisa Rinna really is not giving her the truth. Because Lisa Rinna did say she took whoever to lunch and talked about Brandy having a drinking problem. She did. She was like, that girl seems to have a problem. She's always drinking. And she said multiple times, like, I can recognize it because my brother's blah, right. My brother-in-law's drop dead, whatever.
Well, but Eileen said she's an angry drunk. And I, you know what? The thing is, I think you're allowed to say, if you are around someone who is, like, angry when they're drunk, like, is being an angry drunk or belligerent, and you've seen that a few times, I think you're really entitled to be able to say that. And, you know, even if it's, maybe if it's not even, like, if someone has, like, if they've only been, like, a belligerent drunk twice, but if that's the only times you've seen them, of course you'll have to be like, yeah, that person's like an angry drunk. It's up to that person who was the angry drunk.
Well, you brought up two interesting things. One is what Kim said when she's like, you saw me one time and I was like partying on cancer pills. Okay, one time. It's like, I mean, if you've seen me like five times, okay, I fell off the wagon. But, I mean, one time. Like, Kim, that's not how it works. Yeah. You know that, right? Yeah. If you had ever been to AA, you would know that one time means you fucking relapse, you dildo.
Yeah. I think that if someone were drunk and threw wine in my face for no reason, I think I would be entitled to say, you know what, you're a mean drunk. I'm putting that out there. Am I going out too far on a limb?
Well, that was also the night that Brandy brought up her being a fucking homewrecker.
Yeah.
For the first time.
Yeah.
You know, she is mean drunk. She's too nervous to deal because she thinks everybody's an old lady. And frankly, they're way above her intelligence level. And so she gets nervous and she gets so drunk to be able to deal with them. And then she just says mean shit to get on TV.
Yeah. Like, and being a mean drunk doesn't mean you're an alcoholic. Although I think that Brandy might be an alcoholic too, but I don't know. But I think though that being a mean drunk it's just the way you are when you're drunk. And you should like try to change that if you can, you know, like, or
my favorite thing about Kim and Brandy right now is the way they justify everything, like their anger at everybody else. It's like, you said something that could have ruined her life on national television. I love that it's people talking about it and not the fact that Kim's showing up wasted.
Yeah.
And Brandy's showing up wasted to the point she's falling down, and Brandy's still trying to do this Kyle abused me and Kyle beat me thing, right, when we've all seen it. And then last week's blog, Brandy's like, oh, she beat me until I was getting glass. I mean, who's the nice person here? The person who just wants to make peace or the person who's covered in glass? It's like, shut.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the other thing is, I think one of the reasons why people think that Brandy might be an alcoholic is that she has said many times on the show that she's like, oh, I have to drink if I'm with these girls. I mean, she uses it as a coping mechanism. And when you're drinking or using anything as a coping mechanism, that's like a little different. It's a lot different than when you are just drinking to have fun. You're going out getting drinks with friends. So when you see people using it as a coping mechanism, it's, I think, fairly natural for people to make the jump, whether it's maybe warranted or not, that they might be an alcoholic.
You know,
or at least a drunk.
In public drunk, people are going to talk about you walking around in public drunk. Trust me, it happens to me all the time. I walk around in public drunk.
Yeah.
Half my neighborhood thinks I'm like the crazy person yelling at the sky. And they're right. Sometimes that is me. Who cares? Why does that affect my life at all? If I didn't want that, I would stop walking around drunk.
Yeah, you know, first impressions and second impressions matter. If I walk down the street screaming and talking to myself and someone saw me and met me for the first time when I was doing that, they will think I'm crazy. And they would say, you know what, I think you're crazy. I think you need help. And they would be within their right to say that because that's their only, that's what they
also
know of me.
You know, furthermore, it's your right to be a drunk walking down the street screaming. I don't give a shit. It's just at least own it. Be like, yeah, that was me walking down the street screaming. I was wasted. That was fun, guys, right? But this is just like, yeah, I've worked too. Kim's, you know, Kim's secular phrase that she keeps saying over and over again is, I have worked too hard on my sobriety for you to ruin it. Yeah. No one is injecting you with Smirnoff, okay? Yeah. No one is like pushing you into a pool of Franzia, Kim. Okay, no one is ruining anything.
She might beg to differ.
They're talking about an issue that you've had on national TV now for 5 seasons.
Cut to Kingsley with his eyes glowing red, handing Kim a glass of wine. Take it, Kim, or else I'll bite your neck.
Kim fucking trying to snort shit off the bathroom floor in Hawaii. Like, come on, Kim. Stop acting like everyone talking is ruining your life. No one's ruining your life, okay, yeah. Except your coke dealer. Get a better one.
I really liked that Eileen, I think, is very good in these arguments. I liked that when Brandy and Kim were sort of pulling this thing, like, you don't know, you haven't seen us, but like, all anyone who knows us forever knows that this isn't true, whatever. And Eileen said something to the effect of, like, well, our friendship is very new, and you've been mean during the time I've known you. You know, it's like, it's her way of being like.
And Brandy, like, she can shut Brandy down in a way that Brandy just rolls her eyes and gets really quiet and goes, well, you know, God forbid I have an opinion.
I know. And you can see that.
She gets the bully crying, which means she knows how to punch. Yeah. I love a bully when they cry. There's nothing better than when a bully finally gets punched back in their vagina and starts crying.
Exactly. And by the way, when they were all talking, when this whole conversation on this little boat started and Eileen was addressing some of the issues, whatever, the person who brought up the whole sobriety issue was Kim. Kim was the one who said, well, this is why when I was this or whatever with my sobriety. She was the one who actually opened the can of worms this time. So she can't go complaining about, like, stop bringing it up when she was the one doing it.
She's like, what are we talking about? Why are we even talking about it? Mind your own family. Where's your own family that you stole?
Yeah, exactly.
And Eileen, you know, I'm liking her. I really like when she gets super pissed and says things like, don't fucking call me a homewrecker, Brandy. Don't do it. I like that. But yeah. I think part of her, and I've said it every time she's gotten pissed, like, there's just a part of her that's just trying a little too hard to hold on to things. Like, you know what? If people have a huge fight and throw wine glasses at each other and say awful things, and then they wake up the next morning and apologize and go shopping together, that's actually a good thing. Like, yeah. I get the whole, she's like, now we're wiping it under the table and blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah. I mean, are you going to make your whole life's mission, like, shaming somebody into sobriety? I mean,
yeah. Well, but
there's a point where you need to just.
But I can understand her frustration with Lisa Rinna, to be honest, because, and listen, I love Lisa Rinna on this show. I think she's great. But I understand the motivations for what she's doing when she explained them, how she's like, you know what, I didn't want to, like, retread this. I was in survivor mode. I get that. But, you know, Lisa Rinna she's a little bit of a bullshit artist. You know, when she's, you know,
she's
when she's saying,
LA. You will never know if this bitch is mad at you.
Yeah,
she'll
because
just smile, smile, smile.
Absolutely. Because she was sort of she was kind of talking out both sides of her mouth with Eileen. And then later when everyone was saying nice things to each other and she says to Kim, like, I love you. I'm like, Lisa, you're being a little fake. I love her, but I felt
she's being fake, but she's also being like Kabbalist, you know?
Like,
where
I
you're
feel
like,
a sisterhood.
I love ladybugs. I love busboys. I love carpets. I love clouds that look like dogs. Like, part of it is just like learning to love everybody, man. So I think what she was saying was like, Kim, you're a wreck. You're probably going to be dead in a couple of years. But I want you to know that I'm a human and you're a human. And at the end of the day, we both poop. And I love that about you.
Yeah.
Okay, girl. Girl power.
Yeah.
But, you know, it comes out like, I love you. And then Kim's like, oh, yeah, if you love me, you'd get some cancer and get some medication and come see you. That's love. I don't know where the hell you're from. Your
right.
Husband making up his stupid commercials. Who uses drawings and commercials anymore? Harry Hamlin. You know, most commercials now are filmed on TV. And I just drawn and then colored by somebody with Bobby Socks. Who is Bobby Socks? That's Harry Hamlin's secret.
My greatest accomplishment was falling in love with the man upstairs in the Folgers Light commercials. Like, I don't even know what Folgers Light is. Is that like the coffee?
The best part of waking up, really, is just not when you don't wake up, you know? You just, like, keep sleeping. I love that coffee.
The best part of waking up is Taster's Choice in your cup. Wait, I'm confused. Is Taster's Choice the couple or Folgers waking up? I gotta go
best
to rehab.
Part of waking up is not having to use a cup, because who cares? You just woke up.
Drink out of the sink.
Don't Don't damage my sobriety. I was in treatment at Maxwell House.
I just saw a commercial for Smirnoff, and it ruined my sobriety. I've been working so hard.
My favorite therapist was Dr. Senka.
Yeah, so those fights are getting a little old to me because...
Oh, I love them.
Look,
I love
you're not
they're real. They're real.
You're not going to top Kim doing what she did last week and then getting a glass thrown in her face. Like,
no, I know,
I'm sorry.
But
no matter what happens from now on, that's done. So there need to either be new fights because, honestly, at this point, obviously Kim's still a drunk. If she doesn't want to admit it and she doesn't want to sit there and talk about it at dinner on a boat, I can totally understand that. I don't really need her to. The obvious thing here is that it's not even about that. Brandy's been, you know, helping stir all this shit up and saying how worried she is for Kim and how it's worse than anybody could ever even know. And, you know, she can't confront her. I mean, isn't it obvious she's still using? Like, all the stuff that Brandy said has just added fuel to this fire. And it actually is very sad watching Kim. And somebody brought something really interesting up on our Facebook page about this when they said, I think that Kim finally realized that, you know, Brandy was talking behind her back because she hasn't tweeted and she hasn't blogged since the episode where we saw her on the beach talking about Kim.
Wow.
I think.
That's a good
point. I don't
point.
Know if you guys should fact check that. See, like she suddenly... went into hiding, you know?
Yeah. I have to say that, to get back to your earlier point, I love the fights because, again, I feel like they're coming from a real place. I feel like it's not like Atlanta where it's sort of like they are fighting because they kind of want to fight. I mean, of course, there is some element of that in this, but I feel like it's a real thing that's happening. I think, like, with Kyle, that's real frustration about, like, seeing her own sister being manipulated by this evil woman who is like turning her against her and making her and filling her head with thoughts. Like that's real frustration. I think with Eileen, it's like real frustration and you know, all of it is it comes from a real place and it's like stuff is not resolved. And even though it is sort of loud bickering and you know, at that one point on the boat where they were just bickering so much that Yolanda's like, okay, I have to go eat food now. You know,
well, the
I
thing
get
is
it.
Like the Kim arguments I get and that stuff is real. And obviously Kim is in such denial, like Kim is in the thick of such sickness that it's making it uncomfortable, but at least I'm buying that.
Yeah.
What I'm not buying is Brandy. It's just, why are we even talking to Brandy? My favorite thing about this trip was when Brandy started screaming in the middle of the street and everybody just walked away. And then she was walking behind them going, what do you mean to me? And Yolanda's like, oh, really? You know who's mean? Mr. Limes. The person that Limes was
mean. Mr. Limes.
He made people so tired they got paralyzed. I was like, whatever, my left foot. You're not paralyzed. You're in a full face of fucking makeup, Yolanda. Shut up.
Yeah, but, I know.
Yeah, the Brandy stuff, I just can't with her. And then I'm looking over the Bravo blogs right now, and hers is really long, but they're so ridiculous that I like to read part of them. The headline is, there are three different Lisa R. personalities, and one of our readers said, yeah, and all three of them are better than yours, which I liked. But she says, the thing I see most is that there are three Lisa Rinna personalities. The first is the bubbly, cool chick I had on my podcast and really liked. The second is the one who uses a soft, convincing actress voice to label people she barely knows as addicts, insane, and white trash every week for our entire time together. So the observant one, basically.
Yeah. the one who sees very basic information and is able to process it.
Yeah. Sees the lady with triangular tits and a shirt going down to her belly button and a full face of makeup that doesn't move with a really bad dye job and a cheap
throwing wine
talking about blowjobs as much as possible to get a little attention and starting fights with old ladies. Yeah, Brandy, that's a really rough hypothesis to arrive at. These labels were because she cares. The third Lisa Rinna is the one that said, why is everyone afraid of Kim Richards? And now says, Kim Richards scares me. This is the same personality all the other women seem to excuse the most and have to literally physically restrain from violence. This last one is the same Lisa Rinna taking angry pot shots at the people online and on Twitter since November. I guess some people that wear that little red string on their wrist just pretend to study Kabbalah. I have friends that actually do study it, and they are pacifists. Don't worry, she deleted her many crazy tweets pretty quickly, but they're out there. We all know once you delete something, it lives forever. Yeah, like every idiotic tweet you've made accusing Bravo of bullying you.
Yeah.
Fucking moron.
It's just trash. Trash.
White trash. I know drunk, that white some trash.
Of our I know that some of our listeners are Brandy fans, and you know, that's totally cool and everything, and we don't want to make you feel like, you know, marginalized or something in our audience, but like it's not more, you know, it's like, you know, I don't want people to feel like they're just like, you know, listening, they're smoke coming out of their ears. But in this case, it's like it's very hard for me to really embrace Brandy anymore because I just feel like she really
Brandy's
does.
Brandy's a useless human being. She's never been honest or true to one person ever that we've seen. Ever.
Well, exactly. So, you know, this there's, of course, the big thing that happened is that as they're getting off the boat, this is after the, like, after Brandy says, everyone say one thing that's nice about everyone else. And then as soon as she proposed that game, by the way, Brandy's in the interview being like, I just can't stand listening to these women come up with all this fake bullshit to say about each other. I'm like, well, then why did you propose the game, you stupid bitch? Sorry, that was rude. But
everyone here is so judgmental. Like your tits. Nice hair. I like then, that so, you found a rich guy to fuck, you fucking prostitute.
So then right. They're all getting off the boat, and then Brandy, being drunk, being a not angry drunk, is like getting kind of like silly with Lisa, and she's like making jokes about the love boat, and she's like, kiss me, and Lisa's like, no, darling, no. She's like, if you kiss me, I'm gonna slap you. And then Brandy, again, like a kid who's overly rambunctious or whatever, slaps Lisa. It's like a playful slap, but an uninvited slap nonetheless.
And again, like it's obvious playing. And it's something that's going to be made this huge thing. And that is where I think that Brandy does get the shitty end of the stick. I think that everybody knows she's kidding. And at this point, they're all so sick of her.
Yeah,
that they're
but
just
like,
using the whole she's violent and
yeah,
she's
I would
unpredictable,
not say that she's violent.
And I can't work with people who are violent. Eileen did. When yeah. Eileen first got mad at Brandy, she was like, she's violent. She's a stalker fan.
Well, I mean,
like, she's real. I'm really worried for my safety. Like, she did say stuff like that.
Well, I mean, Brandy did admit to slashing her ex's tires. So,
so did Carrie Underwood. And she's still one of the sweetest little people I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, we'll put her on this show. She won't be. But I mean, I don't think
that
Brandy
was fucking bitch. I'll tell you, if I ever have to listen to Brandy again, she's like, yeah. Turns out to be this like horribly foul mouthed, awful person. I would love that.
But you know, I wouldn't say Brandy is violent based on that slap. I don't think the slap came from a mean place.
No, she's just an idiot trying way too hard to get attention.
But it's what Lisa Vanderpump described later at the pancake place, which I definitely want to go to. Where she was like, you know, it was like taking it too far. She doesn't understand her audience. Doesn't realize it is like that kid who pushes the button a little too hard. Who like thinks it's funny and it's like, no, like it's just I kind of get it. Like it's not like it's not like it was violent. It was playful, but it was kind of like no, that's like I don't play like that. You know?
Yeah.
I don't play like that.
Homer don't play that. Yeah, she, I mean, I think she was just trying to be funny and trying to initiate something with Lisa again. But, you know, I like that Lisa just immediately is like, no, darling, no.
I don't
no.
like that.
No,
I don't like
that's
that.
Not that. No, not that. I like that she, like, turns all mom on her. But
yes.
I don't know. I think Brandy's just out of place at this point. And if all she's going to do is use all of her scenes to either try and pretend she's a victim or complain about how old everybody is. When it's like, honey, you look like a candy corn that got left on top of, like, the fucking heater. Just shut up. Not calling people old.
I know.
But, yeah, she just has no place. All she does is talk about how she's done and she doesn't fit in. And then, bye. Bye. Yeah, you're the trashiest thing on this show. Because this show's been fun this season, even without people yelling at each other and throwing wine glasses. You know?
Yeah, the cast is really on point. I just love it. I really do.
Shit, just watching Lisa Rinna talking about how she doesn't want her kids to be sluts.
Yeah.
Like, that's funny to me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I can get with it. So what else happened? I'm really glad we're done with Amsterdam. I don't understand countries who need to paint rooms all one color. Not into the monochromatic Dutch thing you guys got going on over there.
Yeah. Nothing really happened. They went, you know, they went to a museum, and like the Rembrandt Museum, and Kyle was like, I could paint better than that. I'm like, okay, Kyle Richards, settle down. Take a seat. Take a seat. You can't. That's Rembrandt. You're Kyle Richards. Please.
They're like, well, what about those big robes? And how did people get diarrhea back then?
Kyle's like, I went to Color Me Mine and painted a mug once. Sorry, that's a call back to the bonus episode. Yes, we did talk about Color Me Mine.
Oh, Kyle. Yeah, and then intercut that with the other ladies looking at dildos. Like, this is a classy trip.
Yeah, classiest.
I think this cast is a little too uptight for this cast trip. Because this cast trip would have been amazing on Atlanta. They would have been walking around with blunts.
Yeah, or OC. OC, they definitely would have eaten the pop brownie. Tamara would have.
Vicky would have found the only Andelys in Holland.
She would have worn the clogs and done something ridiculous. No, they would have been stoned off their asses if the OC women went there.
Oh, I was looking through old YouTube videos the other day and was watching the OC reunion where Vicky and Tamara hated each other. Oh, my God. That show really knows how to scream. God. They're screaming. Like, really, Vicky? Really? Do you want me to tell everybody what you did with that busboy in Cabo? And she's like, what? Oh, my God. Oh,
damn. Every OC reunion is exactly the same, but they're always good. They do a good reunion.
They really do, because they're so stupid. Yeah. And that was the one where Alexis was like, I have proof on emails.
she pulls out like a, I don't know, like a donut. You know, New York, Real Housewives of New York does great vacations. OC does great reunions and season finales too. OC always ends strong.
You know, Beverly Hills has never been really good with vacations, actually. Last year's vacation sucked.
Yeah. I don't remember what was
the first Hawaii one. Vacation was okay, because that was okay. Watching Kim, like, hit rock bottom. It's so horrible to say, but it was interesting.
Yeah, the season one vacation, I don't really remember.
Season one, they went to, well, they started by going to Vegas, remember?
Was that their, but that was like an early
season. That was like their first thing. And then to show off Adrian's products. She's like, hello, welcome to the Maloof Hotel, where we serve Maloof vodka and we wipe the floors with pine Maloof. It's like, Jesus Christ, we get it. You have products.
Yeah.
She's like, that's Lindsay Lohan's little sister over there singing on top of the slot machine. We own her. Okay, so anyway, are we done with Bev Hills?
Yeah, because I think so.
This show is super fun to watch, but man, I went off about it like for an hour last week, and I can't yell at a drunk anymore. It's like, at this point,
the important stuff.
Yeah. It's like, have a drink. Let's just all have a drink.
So, which one next? Well, Melbourne?
You know, Melbourne's back.
Oh, yeah, Melbourne is back.
I was thrilled. I was thrilled to be watching Melbourne again.
I was really thrilled.
I loved how everybody looked. I love everyone's new looks. Jackie looks different.
Oh, yeah.
Shine.
She shone.
Lydia looks beautiful.
She does.
And
she
love that Lydia is just basically starving herself.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, how did you lose so much weight? And she's like, I eat what I want to eat, but it's not much, and it works. And Chica's like, do you have coffee? She's like, yeah. How many cups? 8 large cups a day.
She's like, I have one bite of my sandwich. I give the rest to Mr. Figaro.
He's not gay.
I love Mr. Figaro, actually. Or is it just Figaro? I think I don't know.
Don't call him Fagaro, because he is not gay. Lydia wants everybody to know that her dog is not gay, okay?
Yeah, not that there's anything
wrong with her dog.
Yeah, Figaro. So let's see. This is like a week ago that I watched the episode, so it's like,
I just watched it yesterday.
Oh, really? Okay, well, maybe you can lead the conversation then.
Probably not. I'm pretty dumb, Ben.
Well, I remember, we can talk about the new girls.
Okay, well, let's talk about the new bitch. Well, first of all, I think it's funny that Gina is like this super villain, and everybody's like, oh, what's going to happen with Gina? What's Gina thinking? Where's Gina? And, I really just didn't see her that way. I mean, I know she called someone an ass hair at the reunion, but Jesus Christ, people, she's like calm normal down. She's not Hitler.
She's like normal and lovely. I love Gina.
And everyone, like, everyone hates her in the cast.
Well, not the new girl. Well, one of the I almost called her Gambit, but Gamble. She clearly watched season one. She knows, and she like immediately is siding with Gina.
Yeah, she's like, I will be siding with the queen. Okay, so Gamble.
She talks
her
like
name
this.
Is Gamble, first of all.
She looks...
Her upper face doesn't move, and she is kind of an Australian accent, but it's also kind of a marionette accent, because the lips aren't moving.
They don't move. Okay. She sort of looks like a cross between Kesha and Marky Post.
We met on eHarmony. Me, my husband, is like Turok by the sea. I'm Gamble.
I'm Gamble.
And Gamble means... Gamble means blessings in your life, and you have lots of blessings. This is my dog, Kesh.
Yeah.
It's my cat, Credit. This is my purse, which I've named IOU, darling. My husband on a boat. It's like some old man on a boat.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, you know why the sun sets? Because the earth is turning around in a circle, and it's about to go behind it. She's like, well, that's fascinating, darling. I'm so glad we found each other. Right?
Darling, that was really profound. She's,
you can, like, learn things from older men, darling.
She's one of those people, remember from Seinfeld, where it's like different lighting, that one episode where the woman looks different in different lighting. Yeah. She is the one who, like, when you look at her, sometimes she looks really young, and sometimes she looks really old, and you can't get a grasp of what she really looks like.
Yeah, she looks crazy. I'll tell you that much. Okay, and one of her quotes was, she's like, my motto in life is to calorie count. Like, wow, that's your motto in life?
I know.
I wonder if Martin Luther King is up in heaven right now just feeling like an idiot. He's like, I wasted so many speeches. When it could have just been summed up with calorie counting. I had a dream. We all fit in a plane seat. And still eat Oreos. Just know how many you're eating.
Well, I loved how there was some... Oh, Janet was having a big party. And when Gamble walked in, she was just like, so what do you think about Gina? Have you seen Gina yet? I can't wait for you to meet Gina and tell us what you think. She's sort of like... big personality. I can't wait. They're totally being mean girl instigating. And thank God for Chica, who was like, well, I think you should just make up your own mind. Make up your own decision.
Chica, she's like, listen, you know, lots of people are different and lots of people have different opinions.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's real important for us to come together as friends and look past each other's differences and look at the similarities. For example, my dress is bigger than yours, but my hair is also shorter than yours. Let's hug. Like, shut up, Chica. Haven't you learned anything? How about you start some shit and stop being so nice? Chica's like, listen, everyone. Here's the storyline for me this year. What would y'all like to have for lunch? I want to order what the consensus is because we're all on the same page in a sisterhood. No, Chica, you're not in a sisterhood. You need to cut some bitches. I don't know what the hell you're doing wasting my time. But I love that Chica shows up for season two. Bitch has not lost a pound. She does not care. And then in her opening, she's like, it's not about how much you weigh. It's about how wonderful you are on the inside or whatever.
She's like, how much your hair looks like a peacock's top.
Sometimes beauty is just going to Fantastic Sam's and saying, do what you did last time.
She's like, throw me to the wolves and I come back. As a friend with all the wolves, we're just great, great friends. They're lovely people. She's like,
throw me to the wolves and realize wolves can hug.
She's like, people get exhausted trying to figure me out. And I just bring them tea and we all just talk it out. And I say, this is what I'm about.
Don't hate me because I'm beautiful. Hate me because I'm here to stay until we're all hugging.
I've been famous and I've been rich. But my favorite is just like having friends and making sure everyone's happy.
Shine the light on our differences so we can learn to overcome them.
I know what I am. Holla at good friendships.
I am a holla back girl. I am a holla back girl. You give me a holla, I'll holla back at you, because I'm cheeker.
I'm not about the drama. Don't want none, don't need none. But if you bring some, fine, that's your decision. We're all good with it.
I'll support you because we're all human beings, and at the end, I'll hug you.
Because everyone likes drama, especially Shakespeare.
Her interest. I love that Gamble's like, my name comes from the Shakespearean play about bounty. Like,
what? No, it's because your mom went to an Indian resort in Connecticut and got drunk and made the decision. She was applying to be on Game of Crowns.
She was playing Russian roulette with your father's sperm. She took a gamble and it didn't pay off. She's like, Donna, remember when we bet I wouldn't get pregnant? I did. Let's name a gamble. Well, it's better than losing a bet. This is my daughter, lost bet. Gamble. Okay. So then the other new one is Petit Fleur.
Petit Fleur. I like Petit Fleur.
I feel like the producers of the show at least listened to a clip of this podcast and were like, you know what? Their accents are awful. So let's just add more accents to see how awful we can get their accents sounding every week. Because this one is like Indianixonalian.
Yeah.
What'd you call it? There's like four different accents.
She's Shrestralian.
Shrestralian, yes. She's black and dashy Australian.
Yeah. I actually really like Petit Fleur. I feel like she is like a tough lady. And I just like her. I'm like, you know what? I'm always prone to really enjoy Indian and Sri Lankan women. I just kind of like love them. So
I that, goes her to, accent.
That goes out to you, Eva.
Australian, call me Indian too. I don't know. I'm never gonna be able to even talk about her because I can't see how she talks.
She's like, see, no, Riley. See, no, Riley. Good day, Riley.
Like she's like, we have 1 week where we get together for.
She's like,
we get 1 day a week where we have family dinner and we love to spend time with each other. And then she's
you're making her sound like Dracula. She's Transylvania. I came to suck your blood at family dinner.
I'll be back at the family dinner.
Hasta la vista.
Family dinner. Thank you. Come again. Have a nice day. But you see, that is too much. But it's closer than I was before.
We're gonna have to
workshop
this.
Do you know what I want
this.
For my birthday? A Bentley, a white Bentley with a soft top. Shut up!
I hate her.
And drive Reza to buy his fake stupid leased watch while you're at it.
I like Petit Fleur. I forget what she did.
I'm
something.
I'm not gonna like somebody. That girl sounds like a Harry Potter character. Petit Fleur.
I liked her.
Petit Fleur did really well in spells. Unfortunately, she got killed in the Gryffindor broom match.
I think she didn't like Lydia, right? If I remember correctly, she got mad at. She was turned off by one of the things that Lydia said.
I don't know if that was Gamble or her.
I don't know.
But one of them, Lydia was just rolling her eyes. And that's just what she does. I mean, she's hungry. She's had 8 cups of coffee. Let's just leave her alone, all right?
Yeah.
She's thinking thin. That's what's important.
Yeah, darling.
And I love that she's trying to be so nice. She's like, Mom, you know, I'm going to see Gina later, and I'm going to come with a feeling of love. I'm going to come to the table like a nice big basket of bread and just offer to share myself with people, and hopefully she'll slather me with butter and take me down, Mom. And her mom's like, don't take any of your crap, that stupid drag queen. I haven't seen that ugly since Dom DeLuise died and had an open casket. It was disgusting. Like, Mom, now, don't be mean. I'm like, oh, really? Because your mom's just coming up with this information on her own.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What else happened? Oh, so Janet, she...
Okay, Janet. She went plastic surgery? You know what? Janet's plastic surgery is so good. She looks beautiful.
I love Janet. Even though Janet is like a little shady, she's a little two-faced.
A little. Oh, she's horribly shady. She's an awful human
but
being.
She's but sort she, of like does it in a cheery way where you're sort of like, oh, Janet.
It's fun, you know? She's like, it's fun. She's like, I don't have to stop the problem, but why not? You know, I'm like getting a little randy over here.
She just sort of says things like, well, you know, Gina and I are frenemies. You know, we always come back to each other, which she almost feels like by saying that it gives her license to be totally shady.
Well, also, it's like how she sums up friendship, which is so funny. She's like, we're frenemies. I mean, sometimes we love each other and sometimes we hate each other. But at the end of the day, we keep coming back to the table to work it out. And that's a real friendship. Like, it's really not.
Yeah.
I don't know where you learned that whatever you're doing is a real friendship, but no.
Yeah.
No.
I liked when she went to the baker and she was like, so I'm having a party tonight and I need a cake. I need a cake tonight. So make me a cake. As you know, like, I don't think that bakers like that make like really nice cakes. That was such a fake scene. Like, they don't just like make cakes for like and to be ready in 3 hours. And I don't know why I'm taking such
issue. 3 hours.
Like, I don't know why I'm taking such issue with it, but it really bothered me.
Thanks for coming to Albertsons. I appreciate you coming to the tables here in front of the Starbucks to talk about the cakes. Yeah. Would you like a Little Mermaid? I mean, it's old, but people still order it. Yeah.
Well, what I did like was that the cake was like a very nice cake, and then he had these sort of like silly Fisher Price kind of like figurines made out of fondant. They're like, this is a Chanel bag. And this is a lady holding a Chanel bag. And this is a little nurse. And that's a doctor. And that's a rich person. That'll be you.
It's not. It's really sad when he's like, hey, look at this one. This is Marilyn Monroe. It's not you. I mean, we can do your face, but you know Marilyn. You know, we can maybe do something different. And she's like, well, you know what? I'm not sure about what kind of icing I want on the cake. And he's like, well, really, you know, I think you need to look deep inside yourself and start forgiving people around you. She's like, what? Can we talk about the cake, darling? Yeah, like something red. And he's like, you know, strawberry is another word for crack whore, and that's what your friend Lydia looks like because she's drinking 8 cups of coffee a day. I think you need a hugger. You know, fix something in her life and her soul. She's like, I didn't come here for this. I came here for a free fucking cake. These queens know now that they're on a popular show. You remember how last year they couldn't even film in a McDonald's? Yeah. They're like, no, you're not coming in here. And this year people are like, come in. We'll give you a cake. Just come in. Let this queen give you advice. Just come on in, darling.
Well, he was basically like, all right, I have about 15 minutes to sell myself as her new gay sidekick. This is what I'm going to do.
Well, meanwhile, she's dating the other gay sidekick. Oish.
Which one? The
one who's 20. Like, look, your plastic surgery is great. Yes, I love your...
Your guy Carlos?
Your lease on life, and I don't think that you should just, like, sit in a wheelchair just because you're someone who's older. I mean, come on. Live it. Love it. Have fun. But please don't be dating someone 40 years younger than you and then wondering why he's not trying to bone you.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about her hairstylist who has, like, the No Country for Old Men hair.
Oh, no. That guy's amazing.
Yeah. What's his name? Like, Fabricio or something?
Probably.
I don't know.
Spiritually. That's a spirit name.
You can't have that hair and not be named that. Yeah.
That big wig, and she's like, do you like the length, darling? <She's> like, oh, yeah, darling, what are we talking about? All right, let me lock the front door. Puppet gay, he's so cute.
I know. No, it was so great to have this show back. And it was a nice moment when her son came to the party. That was nice when Janet's son, who was the burn victim, came. That was nice, right?
Yeah. The whole thing was nice. I really liked it. I liked that it's fun and light, and the fights look so stupid because they're the new girls just trying to cause shit.
Yeah.
And Gamble's like, I don't appreciate people talking about me having an issue. Is a rumor about me? What's the rumor? Someone took out a marker on the Gamble. What's the rumor, darling?
I don't want to talk about the rumor, but somebody saying things about Gamble.
Somebody talked about Gamble. Always bet on green, right? Is that the expression? No? Okay.
Always bet on green. But I love that Janet's like, I'm a good person, so I'm not going to talk about the rumors. She says like 20 times. She tells everybody that there's some huge secret. She's like, but I'm not going to say what it is because I'm a nice person.
Right, Janet, right.
What do you think Gamble's big secret is?
That she's a flounder.
Formerly. I don't know. There's something about her that reads very fish-like, right? Like she should be at the bottom of the sea, like...
She should be helping people look for Ariel.
I went to a comedy show last night, and it was like a really bad comedy show, but there was one comic who was funny, and she got up there with a keyboard, and she sang a song called I'm a Butterface Mermaid, and it was like about a mermaid who was ugly, and like, she's like the only ugly mermaid. Anyway.
That would suck. It's like you finally find a prince and he takes one look at you and you jump out of the water and you get legs and he just pushes you back in.
Yeah.
It's like swim on.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what do you do when, like, you're a butterface mermaid?
Catch and release.
Yeah.
Okay, so Melbourne, not a whole lot happened.
Yeah, it was just sort
it
of
looks
like
the ladies
up.
Are going to still try and start shit with Gina, but Gina does not give a fuck, and she is ready to party. She's like, bring it on, ladies. She's like, ready to fight this year, which I really like. She's ready for whatever they bring her.
Yeah.
But she's also aligned herself with Gamble, which seems pretty smart.
Well, it's more like Gamble has aligned herself with Gina.
Well, and she's taking it. You know, of course. Gina's like, my little minion. You know, she'll take it. And then
she also likes Pettiflor.
Who's this Pettiflor aligning with?
I don't know who Pettiflor is aligning with, but I think that Gina liked Pettiflor too, right?
I think so.
She said to one of the ladies said something kind of sassy, and Gina's like, oh, I rather like it. I thought it was
rather. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Like I like that spunk.
But I like that Gamble's like, I don't believe in psychics. I think it's stupid. La, la, la. You got someone in your life named Peter, blah, blah, dong, 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 chong, chong. And then they cut to what's your buns like, shine, shine, shine. I really like new girls. Shine, shine, shine.
La mascara, la mascara. Shine, shine, shine. Wait, now one of them said something that upset Pettiflor too, right? What did one of them say again?
I don't know, because it was something so small and insignificant, but of course it's going to become a 10-hour fight.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. I've had small things said to me that get under my skin and then fester for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then finally I hate that person.
Uh-oh, is that a warning?
Yes, Rondell.
You'd be like, remember that time you tried to buy a road and you didn't have a wheat card? That was uncool, man.
That was uncool. Like, I was going to build a settlement at the Wheat, Brick, and Sheep Junction, and then you put a road there, and, like, I couldn't build my settlement.
The Real Housewives of the Settlers of Catan. The Real Housewives of Catan.
I would love to play Catan with Gina.
Oh my God, Gina would be like, listen, I was about to build a road here, darling, but I'm sorry I'm 5 hours late. The construction people are gone, so I just threw the road out there. It's in the middle of the wheat field. Hope you don't mind.
She's like, I built a city on the desert. There, I won. No, Gina, that's just your first thing. No. I built a city. It's very sophisticated. It's like Abu Dhabi. It's on the desert. There, I won.
I'm sorry. I used the game pieces to wipe the spray tanner with. Right, that was a $40,000 game of Settlers of Catan, Gina. Or I left some tanner on your game. Insignificant ass here. But I love that her first scene is walking past a store called The Bitch's Back.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go, Gina.
Do you remember last season when they shot that like scene where Andrea was walking in some strange lacy dress like down the street in this very awkward way? I kind of miss Andrea. She was such a bitch that like I hope like a real huge bitch like Andrea emerges this season.
Oh, well, they cast, you know, Gamble and Pettiflor are both going to be awful. They both just seem
well,
awful.
Gamble's not going to be an alpha bitch. She'll just be like smarmy. Sort of not to go back to
she'll be catty because they showed in the previews for the upcoming episode. She's like, I can't believe these women are just bitches, you know, just plain bitches.
She'll be catty, but she won't be, you know what? She'll be like, to bring it back to the aquatic thing, she's gonna actually be like one of Ursula's eels, you know, sort of like peeking out behind a rock, sort of like slithering in and saying something like, ah, you know, like,
Ursula's eels,
right? She had eels, right? Poor
unfortunate souls.
So who's going to be Ursula? Who is Ursula? I mean, Gina seems like she'd be Ursula.
You need a strawberry cake that doesn't remind people you're old. Here's a surfer. What? He's like, what do you do? What are your hobbies? Do you surf? Do you ski? She's like, I do like to ski, but I don't want that on my cake. It's like, happy birthday, Janet. Janet, who likes skiing?
I forgot.
What else happened on this? I'm trying to remember.
You just made snot come out of my nose.
What's that?
You just made snot come out of my nose. I'm being disgusting. I'm wiping out my
shirt. If you guys are not watching Real Housewives of Melbourne, it is worth it. Starting a little slow, but you know, we can't all just be beating on our drunk sisters straight out of the gate.
Right.
We need some time. And even though it's not the fastest, it is the funniest, I have to say. It made me laugh the whole way
through.
It is funny.
And I think I have faith that it will get up to speed. You know, last season started off like a little slow. It was like funny, but it sort of had to build up. But then once it built up, it was great. I think that's what we're going to have this season too. So I am looking forward to it. And now let's move on to our next show.
Well, we've got Atlanta and Vanderpoop Drools next.
Oh, my God.
I think we should probably do Atlanta first.
Okay, both of them were sort of uneventful, I have to admit.
Oh, I have some Vanderpump stuff I really want to talk about.
Well, why don't we do that one first, then?
Okay. Okay, Vanderpump Rules, Stassi. What the fuck is happening with Stassi, okay?
She needs
we have
to
a
sit
really
down.
Good... We have a really good comment on our page, which I'm looking up right now.
Well, we always do, because we have wonderful listeners.
Yeah, and these comments really are good. Mm. Let me see where it is.
In the meantime, while you look
basically
it up,
wrote, yeah, look it up. You talk about it, and all.
You look it up. I was just gonna say while you're looking it up, I actually felt like the reunion was more or less kind of tame, and it only got really interesting once Stassi came out because she was saying such bullshit that that's when it like got me enraged, because that's what these reunions are all about, right? Like people like hold on to their bullshit and they get called out and confronted with it, and they still hold on to their bullshit, and you get so mad, and that's really when it happened the most then.
Yeah, Stassi is completely in the wrong, for obviously. She's a total bitch, and she comes back on, and then, of course, like every bully this week, it was bully week on Bravo. It was like bullies getting their due week on Bravo, because usually the bullies never get their due. But this week we have Brandy crying off in a corner, Stassi crying off in a corner, and NeNe. Pretty much about to be crying in a corner because they're all pretending that they're these like Buddhists, you know, who are like above everybody else.
Right.
The stuff with Stassi, the really interesting stuff came out with what Jax was saying with Stassi. And I don't know how much everybody was catching on to some of this, but the stuff that she was saying and the stuff that Jax was saying was really bizarre if you start adding it together. Like, if they haven't seen each other for a couple of years, but then Tom's like, well, but didn't you call him crying, asking for money? And she's like, well, yes, but that's because of holes he put in the wall. When? Because if you haven't talked for 2 years, where were these holes? Where were you discussing something with Jax that he would be putting holes in your wall, okay?
Right.
And then Jax is just cutting her a check. And then the part where they were like, well, you know, they say your boyfriend refuses to be here and he's super jealous and he said he'll break up with you if you film with Jax. And she's like, yeah, but I would expect the same thing. So she's basically giving credence to that.
Yeah.
And then she's saying, you know, Andy, this fucking retarded questions as usual. He's like, so you're mad because he cheated? You know, Andy, Barbara Walters did retire. And I don't know what you're still doing on at 11 at night, because you really deserve some more credit, fucking idiot. But anyway, he's like, so you're mad that he cheated? And she's like, no, it's more than cheated. He did some really life-altering stuff to me that's never going to leave. And I'm like, okay, did he give you herpes? Did he impregnate your butt? What? There's too many unanswered questions here. They're obviously still talking, and she's pretending that they're not.
Right. And I love how, like, Jax, before she comes out, is like, oh, well, I'll always love Stassi. Like, you know, I'll always have her back. Like, even though I'll always love her. And then she comes out, and she's like a bitch to him, and he's like, he's like, I fucking hate you.
But they're still talking. Like, yeah. What I got from that is that they're obviously still in contact, and she's going through, because he said, you guys don't even understand, like, you know, whatever Stassi may act like or how whatever she says, she's really had it rough this past 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
not
so
really.
She's been relying on Jax to talk about her feelings while she's dating some guy, and Jax is punching holes in walls, and he did something life altering to Stassi. I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what is going on with him. I don't know why it was suddenly such a big deal that at the season finale that they wound up in, that she was going to see Jax for the first time. It's like, it's hard to remember that there was a time that they were actually like a couple and they were fighting for the relationship and all this and that. Like, I've like forgotten those days. So it's sort of, it's like, I kind of don't care about like where they stand right now. It seems strange. I was more interested in, and when she was being confronted about the stuff with, like, Katie and how Sheena was sort of, like, attacking Stassi. And then I loved how Horseface is seeking an ally. So she's, like, defending Stassi to no end. She's like, you don't even know. Seriously? Seriously, Sheena?
We're friends now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that Katie is suddenly friends with Stassi again for no reason.
Yeah.
But then Stassi's still so mean to her, and Andy's like, well, you find it weird that you're... Oh, yeah, Kristen. She's like, don't you find it weird that you're friends with Kristen again? And she's like, she's the only one who will talk to me. That's really nice. Yeah. Sounds like a warm hug, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm only friends with her because I'm desperate.
No, they both are. They're the only people that would talk to each other in the universe.
My favorite part of this reunion was everybody who's just fed up with Kristen and Stassi just yelling at them to shut up. Yeah. That was hilarious.
It's like every 5 minutes, like, shut up.
Oh, just shut up.
Kristen.
God, Kristen, just shut up, Kristen. You don't know anything, Kristen. You weren't there, Kristen. Kristen, stop, Kristen.
I know. I loved whoever, I'm going to try to find the quote, but someone said on our Facebook page, like, that we have to talk about James wearing the deep V-neck, revealing, like, his little boy body with, like, little sprigs of chest hair.
God, James has cabbage patch doll face. And he's like, well, she's mine now then, brother.
I know.
She's mine now, brother. She's with me all the time now. Yeah, after talking about some other dude for a whole year on national TV, grow some pride, dude.
Yeah, exactly. And I loved how, of course, the quote of the night was when they're trying to explain why Jax and Kristen like had sex, and she's saying she was in a vulnerable place and he was in a vulnerable place and da da da. And then the GM's like, "Listen, hot people like fucking hot people. That's just what people do."
Oh God! Oh, is that why Andy kept saying that? Over
yeah,
and over?
That's why. Because James said that. He's like,
"Oh, I missed that part," and I thought it was because Bethany says that. That's
no,
like
no,
a
this
Bethany
is James
thing.
Saying that's why. I was like, "That's why Jax and Kristen had sex because hot people like fucking hot people."
Oh God! Neither one. It's like mediocrity likes fucking mediocrity, I guess.
Yeah, against weathered likes horses. Something like that.
Sausage casing face loves horse faces.
We're so catty.
Yeah, but his face is becoming a sausage. What is he doing to his
even
face?
When they
somebody
showed,
has to tell me.
Even when they had flashbacks earlier in the season, you could see there was a difference.
I feel like this show is leaving me with more questions than cereal.
Yeah, I know.
What's happening with Jackson's face? What's happened to Jax's face? Surely, what is with Kristen's face? And can you get Botox in just one eye and make it not move? When did our eye stop moving? What's going on?
Or Sheena, she's like, bang, Botox, no wrinkles.
Oh, my God. I don't have any wrinkles. You're like 28. When do you think you start getting wrinkles exactly, bitch?
I know.
Trust me, Botox or not, your face is going to start crinkling up at 40, okay?
I know.
That Olay Regenerist ain't going to do anything either. Just move your face while you can.
It's like you may not have wrinkles, but you've done so much stuff to your face, you look like you're a 56-year-old woman trying to stay young.
Oh, it's the new race of plastic surgery face. You can't tell how old anyone is. They just all look old because they look crazy.
Yeah, exactly, because you know it's an old woman doing it.
And also, she looks like she's wearing a drag queen breastplate. You know those, like, rubber things that never match the skin of the neck?
Yes. Like, yes.
She looks like she's wearing that. It's like, come on. You're a pretty girl.
My cleavage is seriously fucked.
Cleavage is my thing.
Yeah, what was she wearing a crop top? Because it's kind of rubbing.
I make me a breastplate.
I got this at the Color Me Mine of Azusa. I painted it chest color.
I melted a bunch of copper roosters from Draw's Dress for Less, and I made a breastplate because breastplates are my thing.
I got a crop top from Steinmart.
Steinmart is so classy compared to Ross Dress for Less.
I know.
So the rest of Vanderpump Rules, which I thought was fascinating, were scenes from the next reunion.
Yeah.
Because Stassi says, God, I just feel like I should just say I'm wrong so everybody will get off my back. And everybody at the same time goes, you are wrong, Stassi.
Yeah. And I actually really enjoyed Schwartz said something to the effect of, about how Stassi was saying how that she was so glad to be moving on because everyone was so judgmental, yada yada, when she was the most judgmental and immature of people this season, probably.
Or ever. Like, ever. That's how she... I just feel bad for Stassi because she's in the real world, and how is she going to deal with this? And also, girls like that who just change themselves for some man who's trying to control them. You know, if you look at this as any normal human being, when you start dating a guy who doesn't want you hanging out with your friends and who doesn't want you dressing the same and who wants you just to be there at home sitting around waiting for them, they're usually kind of abusive in some way. I'm not saying he's beating, but I'm saying there's some weird emotional thing there. And congratulations to Stassi's parents who basically taught Stassi to, you know, get pretty enough to get old and, you know, get pretty enough to marry some rich guy to take care of her forever and never have to do anything. It's like her only thought about stopping waiting tables is to find a man so she can stop waiting tables.
Well, but that
get
guy's
a fucking job, lady.
Well, that guy's in for a treat, because to get back to what you said at the very top of the episode about Jessica from Shadows of Sunset, all sweet and subservient in the beginning, and then the real Stassi comes out. You know what
the
real Stassi
is. Well,
he's
seen the show. He's seen the show. So he's going to be prenupping her ass, and he's going to Yolanda Foster her ass, okay? Yolanda Foster still gives speeches about how much she loves her dear David because they have a prenup. She would not be given that speech every week if she had not signed a prenup.
Mm-hmm.
That's how right. to keep them nice in this town.
Yeah, it certainly is. Stassi.
By the way, I looked up her boyfriend, Patrick Meager. Hot.
Yeah, he is hot. He is hot.
I would let him emotionally abuse me. So yeah. I'm not judging you, Stassi. I'm just saying, come back to the five in time, Stassi, darling. Yeah, enjoy the fact that you're a horrible person and the world hates you. That's your calling card. You've worked hard at it. It's your third reality show, girl. You finally become the bitch that you were trying to be. Blossom like a little flower.
Yeah. The one I feel the worst for of this whole thing is actually Christina, because she tried so hard to get on to this show, to be in that reunion, to be in the mix, and still nowhere to be found.
That poor Dana.
Poor her. She tries hard. Oh, she's got that thirst, and she is working hard, but I don't know.
Not even to come out for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
nobody's even said, like, Stassi, you know, that girl who Ubers you around and agrees with everything you say. What about her?
Yeah,
no one brings her up.
Yeah, no one even says anything about Christina. Meanwhile, the British busboy waltzes right onto the show season 3 and gets a prime spot in the reunion.
Yeah, well, Lord knows he's earned it. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to say, by the way, they brought up the whole thing about the car selfie. And, you know, I wish someone had asked, what's a busboy doing with a BMW? But I do think, when they relived that scene, I did think it was really funny when he said, why don't you take a Honda Civic selfie? I mean, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that was funny. And that whole fight was stupid. I don't understand that. And they don't remember why they were fighting.
Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, you know, I remember why I called him that, because he said something about my selfie and I should have thought of something better. But, you know, it was a selfie. I want a selfie. Civic selfie. Blah, blah. I was like, what are you even talking about? Shut up.
Yeah.
Get him out of here. Put him back at the kids' table. Kristen, you should be ashamed of yourself, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Little children are supposed to ride the ponies around, not take them home.
Yeah. She's like, we're so in love.
We met at a birthday party. I was there for a petting zoo.
He pinned a tail on me.
It hurt for a minute, but then once he was riding me around the backyard, he was the only person that didn't kick me and make me go faster.
So I think there was more discussion about the girl from Miami, by the way. Oh, actually, Ariana had
that
a good
fucking ugly plastic flesh bot from Miami. We had sex. Then we did it. Yes, we did. Then we did it. Uh-huh. Nuh-uh. Uh-huh. Security.
I think there was just more denials. As Kristen being like, I had to clear my name.
I'm totally over it now.
And Ariana had a good zinger, didn't she? Something about the effect that they were like, they always go, like, Tom's always, like, hanging out with, like, pretty girls or whatever, hooking up with pretty girls. And she's like, well, I'm not worried because she wasn't pretty. Something like that effect. Much better than what I just said, but I give her props to that.
Yeah, I'm really going to be sad when Vanderpump Rules ends.
It's almost over.
You know, and next week looks like it'll be a good part of the reunion. Lisa Vanderpump looks like she yells at Stassi, which is really nice.
Lisa Vanderpump needs to be like the. I mean, actually, she is getting more like this on Beverly Hills now with that attitude. I really like her attitude more on Vanderpump Rules. And I know that it's easier to have that attitude when you're just talking about a bunch of young people who work for you. I mean, supposedly. But I really like when she just tells people off and she's like, no, I gave you everything and you just turned your back on me. I don't appreciate it, darling. And she's like, I'm ever either.
If Chef Penny ever
Sheena's
acted
just ready to tell everybody off at all times.
Yeah. Because it's in some way someone has like offended her. She's like, I can't believe you would talk about this 3 weeks after my wedding. I was still experiencing the glow and you ruined it.
I wrote a bad Yelp review for my wedding. That's not cool. Yelp is my thing.
I can't believe you would mention this as I was on the way to Pollo Campero to look at photos from my wedding. I was trying to relive the night and you ruined it, and I couldn't even enjoy my fajita.
So that will be coming up next time. Also, we'll be covering Southern Charm on this show, so please be watching Southern Charm, which begins next week on The Bravs.
Yeah. But we have Atlanta before you try to wrap this up.
No, I'm not trying to wrap.
I thought it sounded like, I was like, you best not be wrapping this up.
No, I just figure when I'm having crazy days like this, if I remember to say something important, I should just say it, because otherwise it'll just fly away.
Yeah, I'm actually very excited for Southern Charm, which, as the name implied, it really charmed me with its lunacy. But it's like we, as we talked about in its first season, it's like rich assholes being assholes in a different way than they are on like Shaw's of Sunset or any of these other shows.
My dad wasn't against the end of slavery. He just wishes that people didn't have to die to get there. Oh, okay. Yeah. Great.
That's all.
Can't wait to see the next season of this show.
He's like, learn more about it during, if you read his keynote address to SAE in Oklahoma State or University of Oklahoma.
Now, I'm running for state senator of Charleston. And I just like to say, my platform is forgive old white men. They didn't mean it. Now let's just all give them some more money. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. By the way, are you watching House of Cards?
No.
Because that guy really has gone into Foghorn Leghorn.
Territory. Speaking of Netflix, are you watching The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
No, I heard it's great, though.
So funny. It's like the second coming of 30 Rock, and Jane Krakowski is absolutely hilarious.
Love her.
And Ellie Kemper is great. Actually, Ellie Kemper really deserves the whole cast. Titus Burgess, everyone.
Okay, so, yeah, I'll check it out.
That. Everyone watch that. So Atlanta. Not much.
Yeah, House of Cards, he's like, I'm going to pass a bill. I'm going to pass it so far no one sees it flying past their face. Watch this senator. He thinks I'm here to ask him about coffee. I'm really here to ruin his life. Hello, senator. I'm like, oh, no. Southern Charm needs to take that format. Okay. I just had to get that out because who am I going to talk about House of Cards with? Nobody.
Nobody.
He's like, America, I want to pass an economic plan. I'm like, oh, shut up. Okay. Atlanta. Real Housewives of Atlanta. Nene is Buddha.
Saint Nene.
You guys, Nene does not understand.
She's like,
what is wrong with why can't people get along? What has happened to these women that they cannot bond as women and get along?
Why do we always fight? It's almost as if there's like a giant moose-like presence who yells at everyone every time they get together. Why can't
and
they just get
spreads
along?
Spreads gossip and lies about everybody and pits them against each other and then forgives people and pretends that she didn't because she doesn't want to do any more scenes with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You stupid hooker, Nene. No one's ever was... We all see through that bullshit. Who are you kidding, lady? What are you even trying to do?
Yeah. So the thing this week was that Nene wants to get everyone together going to group counseling. Spoiler alert, the scenes from next week is that the first one to go march out of the group counseling is Nene. So anyway.
And so, she pulls an apprentice too.
Yeah.
Where she quits and Donald Trump's calling her. He's like, what are you doing? Come back. And she's like, you were too nice to Star Jones. Why don't you just go be nice to Star Jones again? Oh, sorry, I can't talk to you. I think your other line's ringing, and it's Star Jones to lick your ass, click.
Yeah. And when she's like, according to next week's promos, she's like, well, I didn't realize this was a gang up on Nene session. I thought it would be therapy. But you know what's funny? If everyone's like, quote unquote, ganging up on you, rather than walk out, maybe you should think for a moment like, okay, I do feel ganged up on, but if everyone has the same issues with me, maybe I should listen and take note and think about how I can change this thing that everyone is so frustrated about rather than walk out. Like, there's a reason why they're ganging up on you, Nene, and it's not because of your ramen hair.
No, she's not trying to fix anything. She's trying to look like the nice one because she's getting so much hate on Twitter that it's becoming fucking unbearable for her, okay? Yeah. And you can't just suddenly decide that you're going to act nice in one episode and everybody's going to fall for it. I mean, it works for some of Brandy's fans. I've noticed that online.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't be nice for one paragraph and then expect everybody to fall for it, because it's bullshit. And if you think about almost every issue that's going on this show, it started with NeNe, okay? Mm-hmm. This whole Phaedra and Candy thing. Oh, really? What a coincidence. NeNe's calling you every day now suddenly, yeah. And now you have a problem with Candy. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Right.
Portia and Kenya. God, what other problems? Cynthia obviously is her. Who else even has a problem? She has a problem with Claudia, which is her again.
You know, the Candy and Portia thing actually really bothers me, because it's one of the few friendships on this show that I feel like is genuine. And you can just see a combination of the producers and the other women getting into Portia's, Phaedra's ear. Did I say Portia before? I meant Phaedra. Getting into Phaedra's ear.
We knew there's no relationship with Portia in there.
Yeah. but you know, with Candy and Phaedra, you can see, like, they're getting into Phaedra's ear and be like, well, she wasn't there for you. She's not there for you. Or, well, she was the last one to get up and come out. It's like, you know what? Like, Phaedra should know Candy well enough to know that Candy is pretty neutral, and that, like, Candy felt awkward for a moment and then she got up and came out. Like, it's really kind of, I don't know. I don't like it.
Well, it goes deeper, because Candy's just disappeared. And Candy is probably that friend who's like, oh, we're best friends. And then they get married and then you never see them again. And then you're like, yeah, but I have cancer. And she's like, yeah, but my husband's mad at me. And you're like, that's true too.
You make a good point. You do make a good point. Mama Joyce was feeling it.
Yeah. Like, I get that Candy probably is like that because she devotes everything to her husband. And now she's trying even harder because her husband's obviously fucking cheating at the midget hostel in LA whenever he's there.
And sort of holding their relationship hostage because of the prenup. It's like, dude, you are the first one when they're in these, like, the candy factory meetings. He's the first one to be talking about money and fiscal responsibility. And we got to be on top of this, got to be on top of that. Well, that's what your wife just did. And now you're mad at her. Like what she did was totally reasonable, to be honest, you know? He's just mad because he's not getting that money. Sorry to be all
that's
Mama
exactly
Joyce-y.
Right. Well, also, Todd married Candy when he was lower than her, right?
Yeah.
So he was like some line producer or some shit on the Bravo show. That's not a high, I mean, no offense to anybody who does that, obviously, but it's lower on the food chain, right? He was kind of in a starting out place.
Yeah.
He starts dating a celebrity. He becomes famous. He starts all this shit on TV to get that ring. He finally gets the ring, and then he sells a show. Because she said that he went off to do, I guess it's Hollywood Divas, went into production the week after they got married. So now he has a taste of success, and now he understands that with that come people that act like they want to fuck you, even though you're little midget with no personality.
And the new look that he's sporting in his interviews, it's like a very hairy, like highly sculpted but highly fluffy beard with this. It's just like bushy.
Yeah, he's gross.
A lot of bushy,
someone's
of
telling him he's
bushiness.
Sexy, and people do that in LA because they think you have money. It's not because you're sexy, okay?
Yeah.
So he's thinking he's all big. Lord knows what he's doing. Maybe it's hand jobs. Maybe it's full-on cheating. Maybe it's nothing. But that guy suddenly has an ego, and so now he's going to try and like come in and try and wear the pants in that relationship? No. You may have one show, but Candy's had a whole career, okay? You don't get that in 1 month. So back the fuck down and be glad that you have a prenup and work for your own little empire, so when Candy finally smartens up and dumps your ass, you can have your own money to live off of.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly.
Okay, Todd? Run along now, little man. Run along.
Uh-huh.
I don't like seeing Candy being treated like that. I do not like that. Candy's nice.
Right. I agree. I love Candy, and I think that she should be bowed down to, like the angel and princess that she is, the queen that she is. And if Todd doesn't, and shame on Todd for giving Mama Joyce any credibility.
Yeah, because now Mama Joyce looks like at least she's paying attention.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Mama Joyce is crazy the way she intercedes, and she's crazy in all sorts of things, but she might be right about Todd, at least, which is really awful.
Yeah. He's awful. Yeah, Todd's worse. Okay, so what else happened on there? So Nini calls everybody to Boca de Pepa or wherever.
They go to a Mexican restaurant because she's gathering everyone together to pitch the idea of everyone going to counseling, which is silly because they're all going to go to counseling anyway. And she's
wondering why no one trusts it. Don't you remember the last time you got a sex therapist or something and made everybody wear their pajamas? There was like gay
pajama
bashings
party,
and Candy almost killed a bitch.
Yeah.
And that basketball player like almost fucking popped a vein. That shit was so good.
That was great. Yeah, that
that was so good.
So, but to be fair to Nini, she is being sweet, fake but sweet. She's saying like, well, I want to get everyone together and da 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 da. And
she's doing that because she was sitting home and Greg was like, "Baby, how come you're not filming anything this week?" As he drinks out of his toilet cup, and she's like, "No one will film with me anymore. Maybe I should change that before I lose my job."
Like I said, she was being fake as hell, but at least, I mean, she was being nice at the moment, and she was saying like, "We always talk about being grown women, and there have been many times when you all have not been grown women, and I haven't been a grown woman." Admittedly, not a great way to phrase that. But then Cynthia starts barking. And I have to say, Cynthia was so annoying during that scene. She's like, "Well, all right, but not all of you're saying it, but I'm saying it." Like, Cynthia, just shut up.
Cynthia, she's like, "Well, I'm nobody's sidekick. I'm going to fight. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to fight." And you could be like, "Oh, you know, I bought a new car. I really like Priuses." And she'd be like, "Battery, you know the battery's going to die in 5 years. I'm not going to stand by while you drive that battery that's going to die in 5 years."
No, she wouldn't even say that. She wouldn't even say that. She would say, if you say, "I'm going to buy a Prius," she'd be like, "You know, you never liked Prius before. Now you like Priuses. I'm just saying, I always like Priuses, but you didn't like Priuses. Now you want to be a Prius? Fine. That's fine. Get it. Get whatever car you want. It's not my bad. You know, that's the sort of shit she would pull.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they're all going to go to counseling. What was funny to me was actually earlier in the episode when Peter had this award show out of nowhere. This like, it was like the award for excellence in excellence, sponsored by Bar One. I loved it.
Cynthia's like, "There's a lot of things you don't know about Peter Thomas. You know, Peter didn't just have 19 failed restaurants. Peter also was a music producer. He was up there." He's like, "I would like to present the excellence and awards for excellence."
Yeah.
"First of all, to me, for marrying a Wells Fargo check card that never ends. I won. Thank you." He's like taking his fucking red plastic flip cup. "I'm gonna put this on my fireplace. Thank you."
And what a depressing awards ceremony that was. There were like 10 people there. Did you see all the empty tables that they did not obviously sell seats for? It was really sad.
Yeah,
but you know, right in line with a Bar One production. He's like,
"A lot of people didn't come here, but it's because I forgot to put on the invitation that Martin Luther King was dead in that building over there."
Yeah. It was classic Peter production. It was just sad. And then they like gave a surprise award to Candy Burris. I mean, just like, it was just so podunk.
A surprise award, like whoever showed up, it's like, "Well, Candy's worked.
Yeah,
all right, just go scratch your name into it. Your name into it. Write it in paper clips and then glue it to it."
Yeah, he's like, "I know there's an image of a little leaguer on there, but this is a real award just for you. It's a trophy just for you, even though it looks like it's for little league. It's like a bowling trophy or something." Wait, though, the other thing was that Cynthia and Phaedra had to sit down.
Listen, Phaedra to me is the queen because she is so obviously involved in whatever the hell happened with Apollo. I don't think there's any way that it's a coincidence that Apollo starts mouthing off to her on national TV and disrespecting her and talking about dropping $5,000 at a time at a strip club, and then suddenly he's going to jail. Like, to me, Phaedra, just don't fuck with Phaedra. Mm-hmm. I don't know why anybody would fuck with Phaedra. She will fuck you up. You'll be in jail.
Yeah. And Cynthia, she just does not know how to confront someone. She is just in over her head. And like, confronting on behalf of Kenya, it's just it's a fool's errand or whatever that term is.
And why would you invite somebody to lunch to say, "Now look, I know we had some words, and I just didn't want you to feel like when I brought 10 women together and accused you of having an affair on national TV, which would have given your husband ammunition to possibly break the prenup and get some of your money, that was personal. I don't want you to take that personal." Of course it was fucking personal, you stupid twat. What the hell else were you doing it for? You were doing it because it was personal. You were trying to embarrass her on purpose. You've been talking about it in every scene you're in. Who are you kidding?
I know.
Like, who are you kidding? Of course it was personal. Of course it was on purpose. And I love that Phaedra's just like, "Bye. Like she just got up and sauntered right on out, grabbed a mint from the bowl on her way out. All
right. Good for Phaedra.
Pack up my awesome blossom and take it home, bitch. I'll eat it.
Pack up my awesome blossom.
I got a box full of chocolate at home.
The awesome blossom, coincidentally, is also Nini's next weave. Just have it upside down on top of her head.
She's like, it's good to see my weave up in lights, but man, that spicy aioli can get into your eyes on a hot sunny day.
Oh, it really itches. I like, by the way, in the previews for next week, I assume that Nini's wearing some wig for Cinderella, but there's no explanation, and she looks like the Bride of Frankenstein.
It really doesn't look that far off from her other wigs.
Well, this, by the way, this show is like starting to like catch up to when it started to air, because they were talking about Ebola in the U.S., right? They were starting to talk about the Ebola patient, and that was like late September, and this show premiered in November, so I wonder if the taping is going to overlap with when the show is actually airing, because that'll get really interesting.
Oh my God! Yeah, once they filmed the reunion, like Beverly Hills, I think they filmed it after they were done shooting, I guess. Mm-hmm. Oh, so did you hear the gossip about Beverly Hills? That there's a couple things. One is that this rumor, they had to film the reunion early because of Yolanda's Lyme disease or something. Yes,
exactly. However,
and that there was a big fight between Kim and Lisa about this secret. And supposedly, Bravo producers made Kim lie and say that she didn't know anything and she was just lying.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
That's interesting. And then, what was the Harry stuff? I want to know. Yeah. And what was the other Beverly Hills gossip? I don't remember, but it's going to be good.
Yeah, maybe it has to do with something with L.A. Law. Maybe it's something with Susan Day.
Susan Day.
And Blair Underwood. Maybe the three of them had an orgy.
I still want to know what Blair Underwood's AIDS results are. I keep seeing that mobile AIDS test truck.
He's so
handsome. Blair Underwood's beautiful face on it.
He's so handsome. He's like,
come inside and get tested for HIV. But, you know, now I always think of, every time I think of HIV, it's like you're the face of HIV now. Congrats. Yeah,
congrats. The sexy, it's like Blair Underwood's face.
And then really big neck right next to his face, it says HIV positive. That's great. Good move. Good move, Blair.
Yeah, not that there's anything wrong with it.
No, no, of course not.
No, not, like, to, not to contribute to the stigma.
No, no, it's not that. It's just like, you know when Joey on Friends got a print ad and then he found out it was for herpes?
Yeah.
And then he's on like billboards all over the city with herpes. You know, I mean, come on. Part of it's marketing, right?
Yeah. Well, Blair Underwood is very, very sexy, and he can be on any billboard he wants to be. I'll still find him to be very sexy.
Yeah, he's like, don't get HIV. Stay home and masturbate to this image of me.
I know. On my blog, like when I first joined Twitter, I was like very interested in having a celebrity follower. I was like, I really wanted a celebrity follower. And as if I'm like not doing that now, of course. But like I decided that Blair Underwood, I was like, I want him to follow me. So I launched a campaign on my blog and I was like, I did like a list of all the reasons why Blair Underwood is wonderful. And I was like,
you're really 19 cupcakes that Blair Underwood would really like.
I know. And then he followed me and I was very happy. But I think I tweeted at him once or twice. He never responded. So it's fine.
He's very busy.
He's a busy man. He's
very
busy.
He's in the back of a truck that goes block to block.
Yeah.
Testing, you know, testing kids for HIV.
Being handsome takes time. It's like love. Love takes time.
It takes a lot of sleep. Penelope Cruz sleeps 18 hours a day or some shit.
Yeah.
They're like, why are you so beautiful? And she's like,
because I don't ever wake up. I only wake up to do the movie and to do the interview, and then I go to sleep.
I am asleep right now.
I'm doing this interview from my bed. Open your eyes. Open your eyes.
It is a lucid
Open
dream.
Open your eyes.
That's how Vanilla Sky opens.
Open your eyes. Open your eyes. Open your eyes.
I'm like, oh, Penelope Cruz, this isn't working out. This movie is already not working out.
All right. Well,
we made it from every Bravo show on TV to Vanilla Sky to apps on the iPhone that are useless.
Yeah, we're done here. It. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's time to drop the mic.
I think so. I feel good about that. So the way we wrap this up is that we tell everyone thank you for listening. And we remind everyone that you can follow us, our social various social media channels, by going to watchwhatcrappens.com. You see links to everything. And if you want to support this podcast and help it grow and maybe even go to a second full-time episode, you go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N. And if you donate, you might you will also get like access to bonus episodes. We had a really fun one today. And other fun things like Google Hangout and ringtones, etc. And I think that's pretty much it. Follow us on Facebook, too, because we have a fun Facebook, facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Crap talks are my thing.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.